to his house. We're going to talk to this morning, this little thought, strength in the wilderness. Strength in the wilderness. Father, I pray this morning for your help. I pray, God, for your guidance and direction. I pray, God, for fresh anointing. I pray, God, that you would illuminate my mind and my thoughts. I pray, God, you'd help me to preach your word to the precious souls that have gathered here this morning, those who are watching by the internet. And I just pray and ask God to help each of us understand that we might be in a wilderness, but you not know how to give strength in the wilderness. And with that, God, we'll praise you. I pray, God, you'd help us wherever we need your help. Whatever area of life we need your help, I pray, God, you'd be the great physician and dispense to us the spiritual medication that you have for us to receive, Lord, to take and then to work inside of us. And for that, Father, we'll thank you. I pray for that soul that might be here or that's watching, that's not saved, blood bought, born again, redeemed. They're not a part of the family of God. But I pray, God, this be that day they receive Jesus Christ as Lord, Savior, and King. And for that, God will shout hallelujah. We love you much and we owe you everything. I do want to thank you, Lord, for the souls that were saved yesterday, when the young people went to play ball. I thank you, Lord, for those who trusted Christ, and we thank you for that. All right, we're done for now. We'll talk to you soon. For your son's name, we pray. Not a weak Jesus, but mighty Jesus. Amen. Amen. May be seated. Strength in the wilderness. All of us will face wilderness experiences, but even in the wilderness, God knows how to protect and to strengthen his people. Hallelujah. This to get you up to speed. We've already looked at how in verses 6 and following, how David had helped the folks of Keilah. He had rescued them from harm and danger. But now Saul finds out that he was in Keilah. And so therefore, David goes to God and said, God, what's going to happen here? Are these folks going to turn me over to Saul? Is Saul coming down here to try to get us? And then God tells David, yes. The very folks that you help are the very folks that are going to turn you in. And by the way, my friends, sometimes the very people that you try to help in life will turn around and turn you over to the enemy. But nonetheless, God tells David what to expect. And so David leaves Keilah. And now he is in the wilderness of Ziph. And in the wilderness, a place of desert, a place of loneliness, a place oftentimes of isolation, and sometimes even discouragement, we find David. David, as well as the 600 men that had gone with him, were now in this wilderness. And the first thing we see is the strongholds in the wilderness. The Bible says in verse 14, and David abode in the wilderness, in what? Strongholds. I'm like, say what? A stronghold is a fort or as a covert of ambush, a place to protect you. Say, in the wilderness, God apparently had found a spot or a place in the wilderness to be a stronghold, a place of protection for David, even though he was in the wilderness. And what that tells you and I, but the Bible says, the things that happened to Israel happened to us for examples. So what that tells us, my dear friends, is that even though you and I might be in a spiritual wilderness, God knows how to make a stronghold or a place of safety, a place of protection in the very midst of the wilderness. But sometimes we may feel like, no. Man out here, the enemy's going to tear me apart. But God knows how to protect us in the midst of the wilderness. As I mentioned a few moments ago, as I was driving back from preaching all week down in Kentland at our Newton County Baptist Church, and they told me about the deer that was running rampant out that way. And so I'm on my watch for the deer as I'm driving down the road there on 41, and I'm driving back, coming north, heading back to the house, and I'm looking on the side, and I'm watching for deer, trying to make sure that the deer don't come out because I'm right by near the forest part. And then there's on the left side of me, there's a medium that's full of just grass. And then on the other side is where the other cars are going this direction. But as I'm going down this way, I'm not really focusing on my left. I'm focusing what's in front of me and what's on the right. Then all of a sudden, my dear friends, as I'm singing, going down the road, go Cubs, go. As I'm singing the song, believe it or not, all of a sudden, this deer is in front of me, and I'm like, what in the world? And I try to hit my brakes. He made it almost by him, but then the right side caught the end of the deer, and I thought I just bumped him a little bit. Everything seemed to be okay, and I'm just riding, and then some said, pull over. Check things out. I'm like, well, the hood ain't all, it looks good. And I pulled over. And I walked around. I'm like, my soul, amen. It looked like somebody had come by with a sledgehammer and just went there, whacking away at the car. And I'm like, my goodness. And I said, well, I'm trying to get over there to, what's that, TGI Friday. Joining him, putting an order. I'm going to pass right by him. And I'm trying to get there. I said, well, let me just go ahead on, get now, man, and I get him to the house. And as I'm riding, and then I'm like, stuff still, like, stuff started falling. You know, like, I'm in the car. And I'm like, let me pull back over again, amen? And so stuff's all loose all over the place. And so you're trying to gather your stuff together. And so... So I ride, I said, Julian, I'm not going to make it, amen. And so then she called people, told me he ain't going to, she said, she's like, man. But anyway, she said, okay, he ain't going to make it. And so then I said, well, maybe I can't make it. And so I got there, and I pulled in the parking lot, and they closed the doors at 12, but they had the inside open at 1. But I got there, got me inside, and said, hey, I'm here to pick up that order for Chappelle. She said, oh, I'm so sorry. Your wife called, said you couldn't make it because you got hit by a deer hit you. You're okay? I said, yeah, I'm fine. She said, they didn't throw the food out. I'm like, oh, man. I said, okay. So Jolene had nothing to eat on Friday night. But nonetheless, my dear friend, nonetheless, as I'm riding in that place of wilderness, my dear friends, as I'm traveling down the road, this was not a dome. This was not a mama. This was a buck. And it was a big one. I mean, it wasn't no, I mean, this was, I mean, you could have rode him. I mean, it was a big one. And my friends, it could have been so much worse than what it was. I mean, I could have just been in a car accident totally and been in the hospital and all kinds of things. But even in the midst, my friends, of that place, God had a stronghold. God had a covert of protection from the ambush of the enemy. And sometimes when the enemy comes at you, my friends, in the wilderness, he comes at you to ambush you. Yeah. But God knows when the enemy is about to attack, and God knows how to put a stronghold in the midst of a wilderness. But other than that, my dear friends, look at Psalm 63. When David was in this wilderness, it's amazing to me how these psalms line up with portions of David's life. But look at Psalm 63. And Psalm 63, David talks about being in the wilderness. And most common scholars, they believe that he was referring to either this occasion or the next one when he is running away from his son, Absalom. But look at Psalm 63 and look at verse 1. The Bible says a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. Ziph is a part of Judah. So he goes on to say, that it's a psalm when he was in the wilderness of Judah. Look what he said. Oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up mine hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied and with marrow and fatness. And my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. And he goes on and on and on. But wait a minute. Dave, you in the wilderness, man. What are you talking about? Praising God. Exalting him. Meditating on him. You should be in a corner somewhere going, well, I'm in the wilderness. God, you came by and you said I was going to be king and you had servants to anoint me and then all I had is grief. I go down there to check on my brothers and while I'm down there, I see the Goliath is accusing you and attacking you verbally and saying bad things. And while I'm there, my brothers come by and they're like, what you doing down here, David? Lord, I'm just trying to, why are my brothers attacking me? And now, Lord, here I am. I was trying to help Saul when the evil spirit would come upon him. And then now now Saul's throwing spears at me. Now I'm on the run, and we got this person turned against me, and that person turned against me. And now, God, here I am in the wilderness. What is this? You ever been there? I mean, you hadn't done nothing, Melissa, not one thing, but folks coming at you. You're like, wait a minute, I'm just doing my job. David had not said one bad word about Saul. Even though Saul had thrown spears at him. And even when David found out that Keilah was going to turn against him, David still did not turn and try to hurt Keilah. And you're going to see, not today, but on Tuesday, we'll find out that even here in Ziph, when these folks find out, they're going to turn and their backs on David and get ready to turn him over to Saul. What are you saying? He's in the wilderness. He ain't done nothing. Now, what you're trying to tell me, preacher, sometimes you may find yourself in a spiritual wilderness and you've done nothing wrong. It's not because you've sinned. It's not because you've not obeyed God. It's not because you're not following God's instructions. But yet and still, you find yourself in the midst of a wilderness. But we see, my dear friends, the stronghold in the wilderness. And then we see that David, going back to 1 Samuel, we see that he was sought in the wilderness. The Bible says back in verse 14, and David abode in the wilderness in the strongholds and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day. Okay. You ain't happy enough with me being out here in the wilderness. Now you're still seeking me out here in the wilderness? And not just on Monday.
Every day.
Say it again, Miss Carrie.
Every day.
I mean, if you knew the day that anyone would come by and schedule an appointment, and he'd say, Sharon Earl, I'll be back to bother you on Tuesday around 10 a.m., and I just want you to know. But instead, he says, Sharon, I'm going to be back to bother you on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I'm not going to tell you what time. And so here you are going about your daily activities, your daily duties. Then all of a sudden, my friends, here comes the enemy. Seeking you. And in David's case, he's already in the wilderness. And the enemy's still seeking him. It's amazing how sometimes you can be down and discouraged. And the enemy still comes by to push you that much more further down. But even then, my friends, we've got help in the wilderness. So we see that he was sought, but we also see he was saved from the enemy in the wilderness. The Bible says in verse 14, and Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. God will not let David be caught up in the hand or the power of Saul. God did not turn David over to the enemy, but he continued to watch over him. My dear friends, you might be in the wilderness, but I like what the Bible tells us over there in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. It says, let's go read it. I can't quote it right now, but you know it, and I know it too, but we need to read it. Look at Romans chapter number 8 and look at verse number 28. This is what the Bible says in Romans 8 and verse number 28. Sometimes we've read it so much that we become numb to it, but yet the truth still remains. The Bible says in Romans 8, verse number 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, the Bible didn't say some things. It didn't say 90% of the things or 95% of the things. The Bible says, God's word says, all things. Every single thing that has entered into the midst of your life and my life, God will take it, my friends, and use it for your benefit and for your good. It does not mean that God caused it. God didn't cause the deer to run out there and say, go and get the deer, go and get that. But he can't. And God will take that situation and use it for his honor and for his glory. That's the kind of God that we serve. Hallelujah. Now flip back over. We see the stronghold in the wilderness. He was sought in the wilderness. We see he was saved from the enemy in the wilderness. And then we see that he saw Saul seeking him in the wilderness. The Bible says in verse number 15, and David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life. And David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood. Can you imagine? You're in the wilderness, and then you actually see the enemy trying to hurt you. You see the one that's trying to wound you. And we're going to see later where David, not today, we're going to see later where David has the opportunity to take care of business. Wow. Not business, business. Okay? He had the opportunity, my friends, but instead of slaying Saul, he spares Saul. Even though he sees the one who's after him, perhaps on your job, you see those people who are trying to ditch him and trying to scheme to get you fired or to get you to lose certain things in your job, your position, or whatever it might be. But my friends, even though you see them, don't seek to harm them. David sees his enemy coming and looking for him, but he's still does not attack him. Somebody says, I can't do that. I know you can't. But I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. There's much power on the inside.
Amen.
But we walk around oftentimes defeated. Can't do it. I like the have his testimony, and y'all don't really realize just how much fear she faced with singing. Y'all don't really realize it. And sung beautifully. Beautifully. Blessed us. God used her to bless us. But yet she had that fear, and then God helped her to overcome that fear. I believe part of what she put it on Facebook or not, I can't remember. But she said here she was encouraging her kids to not be afraid. And the Spirit said, what about you? Ain't amazing. I can't tell you guys how many times I've been helping somebody, trying to encourage them and all this stuff. And while I'm doing that, the Lord said, okay, what about you, big boy? What you going to do? And like when I do marital counseling, you have no idea. I mean, I'm there to help them too, but it's amazing how much help I get. I don't know who that was, but that's my wife. Hey, she can tell I'm a whole lot better. She'd be like, you ain't got nobody doing counseling with? whether it's premarital counseling or marital counseling, it makes me begin to recheck things and to relook at things. I'm like, you know what? I got to work on that, don't I? I mean, you know, it helps you. God knows how to use circumstances to give us strength and to give us victory. Look at that. You know that. We see Saul seeking him, but then lastly, we see that he was strengthened in the wilderness. Oh, I can't wait to get to this part. The Bible says this. Here he is in the wilderness. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood, watch it, and strengthened his hand in what? In God. God took his adversary's own boy to come by and to give him strength. You know why? Because Jonathan was a true friend.
Amen.
He knew his daddy was trying to kill his friend. Mm-hmm. He also knew that David hadn't done nothing wrong. And he goes out to encourage, and the Bible says, strengthen David in God. Not just with food and victuals and drink, but in God. I want us to see something. Look at me over to Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27. I want us to see this thing about a friend. About a friend. You want a friend? Listen to what the Bible says here about a friend. Look at Proverbs 27 and verse number 9. Proverbs 27 and verse number 9. Man, this is a good verse. It's amazing how many good verses there are in the Word of God. And sometimes we overlook them, and we don't even realize they're even there sometimes. We overread them. Look what it says in Proverbs 27 and verse number 9. The Bible says, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. I was like, wow. Look at it again. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. That word rejoice means to brighten up the heart. You ever smell ointment and perfume that smells so good? It's like, oh, that just, whoa, that smells good. And it makes you feel good. I mean, who wants to wear some perfume that smells awful? You're like, it's like sometimes, well, maybe not y'all, but you know, sometimes you're like, is that me? You're like, no, that's not me. But listen, if you can smell yourself, everybody else can smell you too. And you're like, man, I don't smell good. But then you smell something that smells good. You're like, ooh, that smell good. Jolene bought me that perfume. Yeah. And she always wanted me to tell them what kind of perfume you got on. I don't want to tell them about what kind of perfume I got on. Well, cologne, sorry. Cologne I got on. There is a difference. But anyhow, I don't want to tell them about it. Tell them what you got on. They say, what'd you have on? What you got on? What's that fragrance again? Okay. It's called Very Sexy. From Victoria's Secret. Oh! Yeah. It's called Very Sexy from Victoria's Secrets. It's for men. My wife bought it for me as a gift. But it just don't sound right. You know what I'm sorry, Daddy. It don't sound right, you know. As a man, said, man, what kind of you got on? That's very sexy. All righty there. Okay. Listen, my dear friend. But there's something about when you smell that perfume that brightens you up. The Bible says here, so doth the sweetness. And that word sweetness here means figuratively pleasantness of discourse of a man's friend by hearty counsel. And the word counsel means advice or plan. It smells good. It's sweet when a friend comes by and give you good advice, hearty advice. And that's what this man, Jonathan, was doing with David when he strengthened him. Look, the Bible said in verse number 17 of the same chapter. Verse 17 says, many of us are familiar with this verse. It says, iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. That word sharpeneth means to be alert, to be keen. It also means to be fierce, my soul. Iron sharpeneth iron. It makes that iron more keen, more sharp. So a man sharpeneth or makes alert or keen the countenance or the face of his friend. It's something about two friends encouraging one another. Sharpening one another, making each other not dull, but alive. And when you think about cutting something, I think about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You're able to cut the enemy, my friends, and it's not dull. It's sharp, and it cuts through. We mean, how can it be dull when we don't know it like we used to? There's some scripture, whoa, man, we used to use that thing and swing at the devil all the time. But we've gotten far from the Word. And so now we can't really hardly quote that verse anymore. We kind of know where it's at, but we can't remember the whole thing like we used to. See, it's not keen. Folks, we need to be keen and sharp because the enemy is coming at us on the left and on the right, and God will give us the strength to overcome him with his precious word. Flip back over and look what it says here. We see the source of the strength was Jonathan, his friend. The Bible says in verse number 17, and he said to him, look what Jonathan said unto David. He says, fear not. That's a friend. He said, oh, you done, man. My daddy gonna get you. He says, fear not. He says, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find thee. And thou shalt be king over Israel. And I shall be next unto thee. In other words, you'll be above me. And thou also saw, that also saw my father. He knows it. He knows, David, you've been chosen by God. He knows that you're going to be king. But even then, still, Saul is chasing David. But his friend Jonathan says, let me give you some encouragement. Let me strengthen you. Don't be afraid. You will be king. Because sometimes, my dear friends, God may have given you a promise, and you've not seen the fulfillment of that promise yet. And you wonder, well, what's going on? Why can't it happen yet? I know what God said. You know, I mean, God called me to preach, or God called me to do something else, and it don't seem like nothing's happening. Just keep following him. Keep trusting him. David is going to spend 10 years on the run. 10 years before he becomes king. And he's already been anointed way back yonder. And he's now in the wilderness. Sometimes God gives us a promise, and it hadn't been fulfilled yet, and then we wonder if anything's going to ever happen. I never forget when I was working down that Rockwell on the job. Man, I'm working there on the line, and I was telling folks, you know what? I said, you know, God got some great plans for us. We're going to do some things for the Lord. And then got people look at me year, month after month and year after year. I said, man, you sitting on the line like us. You know, you come to work, you putting your little parts together or whatever you're doing down there. You ain't, you know. But you know what? The day came. What day came? When my boss called me in the office, Ming Lee was his name. He sat down on the other side of the table, and I was sitting on the other side, and he put his hand in his face, and he was looking sad, shook his head, and told me he's going to have to lay me off. God answered prayer! He was like, bro, you lost your mind. God answered prayer. Do you know what I reached over? I was consoling Ming. I said, Ming, it's going to be all right. Ming, like your wife's pregnant. Jolene was pregnant with Isaiah. About to be due in any week, any day, actually. And I'm consoling him. It's going to be all right, man. God's got it. He's going to take care of it. And my friend, and God did. For 8 weeks or 6 weeks, whatever how many weeks it was, I was at the house with Jolene. When Isaiah was born, I mean, we had a great time and all that, and I had resumes all out there, but I wasn't worried about that stuff. We was over there, and I was getting a check in the mail from the job from Rockwell. They still were sending me a check every week, and all kinds of stuff happened. And the last week, I go for an interview. And they interview me, and they're like, well, no, we want you to do this and do that. I look at the work they want me to do. I'm like, I cannot do this stuff. I had a really good resume, though. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. It was a really good resume. I mean, my job actually put it together and sent it out to all the companies for us. That's how, I mean, they just good over there. But I tell you what, he said, well, we'll call you next week and let you know. Before I got to the house, DJ had already got home. And he said, somebody from GEC Avionics, I called, and they said they want you to start to work on Monday. I'm like, praise God. We went to the mailbox, get my last check from Rockwell. And I got the mail and got that check out, my last check. And that check was thick. It's a thick check. And it was two checks, but it was still thick. It was three checks. I'm like, glory to God. They gave me a last check. But then they gave me a vacation check because even though I wasn't working there, I was still accruing vacation time as if I was still employed there. And so that's how they had it all set up. And so they gave me that check. And then because of the way it worked on our job, the company made over so much money, they would give a certain percentage to the employees. And so they had another check. That check was, what, $800-something? And they had that check in there. I'm saying, I had three checks, got me a job, that went Friday. This is the last day. I start work on Monday. What are you saying, preacher? That's how God takes care of his children. Amen. And God will do it in unusual ways, ways that will blow your mind. I forgot about that. All that stuff that took place back. I mean, we was rejoicing. I'm like, my soul. I mean, it was just like, God, he didn't miss one beat. Not one step. But wait a minute. Isn't it amazing how God may promise you something here? He may go through all this time before you get over here. I went and worked at GEC Avionics. We worked there for about a year and a half, I think it was, 2 years. And then God tapped me on the shoulder and said, now I want you to surrender this job up and work for me full time. I'm like, say what? Full time mean full time. That means you want me to give up my job. He said, yeah. Well, how are we going to pay our bills? I got it. I said, Lord, I want to depend on people. She's not going to depend on people. You depend on me. I said, no, but you use people. She said, no, you still depend on me. And, man, we sit there and fought. I was fighting. And then in that, that's late at night. Yeah, most of y'all know all the story. But, man, I went in that little gazebo. I opened my wife's Bible up and fell on that page where it said, pride and destruction. I'm like, oh, yeah, pride. I said, okay, God, I do it, God. But you're going to have to give me a word. You have to give me a word. And he gave me that verse, 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he hath done. And my dear friends, God's still providing that promise and meeting that promise even today. There are times I get nervous. I get shaky. I ain't gonna lie to you. I get shaky. I get nervous. I'm like, oh, no, Lord. Oh, no, Lord. Then Lord does it. I'm like, oh, Lord, I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't know why I'm saying that. Maybe y'all have never been there. You know, y'all a lot more spiritual than I am. But nonetheless, my dear friends, we'll come by and meet that need again and again. And here's David in the wilderness, and he sends Jonathan by to encourage him. And look what Jonathan says. Jonathan says in verse 17, fear not. David, don't be afraid. For the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel. And I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul, my father, knoweth. And the Bible says, and the two made a covenant before the Lord. They re-talked about that covenant that they made. Remember that covenant? You take care of me, I'm going to take care of you. And David, I mean, Jonathan said, David, when you become king, watch over my family. And we'll see later on that Jonathan's going to die in battle. And Saul's going to die in battle. David's going to weep. The folks are going to rejoice. But David's going to weep. But then David's going to ask the question. He said, is anybody left in Jonathan's family? Is anybody left? And they find that one. Mephibosheth, who was crippled. And then they go and get him. They bring him to the king's house. Amen. And David has him sitting at the king's table. Yeah. And he feeds him and takes care of him just like he's his own. Amen. David kept his covenant. Amen. So even in the wilderness, my dear friends, at the time of his just perhaps a discouragement, defeat, but yet he still was trusting God. God says, Jonathan encourages him. He strengthens him. And David remembers the covenant that they made back there in the wilderness. He fulfills it and says, bring down Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth comes. He probably was afraid. Because back in them days, whoever was the king, they normally kill the whole family of the enemy or the adversary. But there's Mephibosheth. And you'll even see later how Mephibosheth was lied on by one of the servants. And Mephibosheth says, no, he wouldn't eat. He wouldn't do anything. He says, because I still serve King David. Absalom may have come inside the house, but I'm still serving King David. What are you saying, preacher? God knows how to give us strength in the wilderness. Maybe in the wilderness this morning, God knows how to give you strength. By the way, the Bible says in the last part of the verse, and David remained, he abode in the wood, and Jonathan went into the house. Think about that for a second. David goes back into the woods, the wilderness. Jonathan goes into a house of leisure, luxury, and David's back in the wilderness. But he won't be there long. By the way, friends, you and I won't be there long either. Let me ask you two questions. First question is this. Are you in the middle of a spiritual wilderness? Are you in the middle of a spiritual wilderness? Then secondly, do you need extra strength and encouragement? Do you need extra strength and encouragement? And then lastly, let's ask God to send us some strength. Father, thank you for your precious word. Thank you, Lord, for how when we look at David, we can see a mirror of ourselves. Because sometimes we find ourselves in the wilderness. But you know how to give us strength. And you'll send it through a source. And a lot of times that source is a human source that you'll use as a vessel to speak to us. And for that, God, we say thank you. Perhaps, God, there's some of my brothers and my sisters that are here this morning that want to talk to you, Lord, about this spiritual wilderness that they might be in, or perhaps the spiritual wilderness they've just come out of, and they want to just simply say thank you. But I pray, God, that whatever the needs are, maybe it has nothing to do with the message, but they want to talk to you for a few moments, or maybe they want to pray for someone. They want to intercede for a friend of theirs that's in the wilderness. I pray, God, they come pray for that person. But, God, whatever the needs are, I pray, God, we respond. We've heard the songs, and we've heard the sermon, and now it's time to respond to the invitation. For it's in your son's name we pray. Jesus, amen. Amen. Let's all stand. Perhaps we're